Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Welcome back to another episode of Revive. Yep. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. We are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that's timeforanawakening.com/revive. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message that right now we are live on timeforanawakening.com. Yes, we are. But before we get started, I just want to take a quick moment of silence for Michael Brown, who lost his life 3 years ago. So I definitely want to make sure that we take in Missouri. We got to take that moment of silence. I got to give my respects where respect is due, definitely, because I stand with my black men each and every day. So 1 second, we just want to take a moment of silence here on Revive for Michael Brown. Yes, and if you guys do remember Michael Brown, he was gunned down in Missouri. That's actually where it all started. That's exactly where it all started. That's where all the marches and everything, all the rallies started. That's when, you know, D-Ray got his spark and things like that with the whole Black Lives Matter movement. So definitely shout out to Black Lives Matter. I hope they continue doing their thing. I definitely stand with my black men. Shout out to Colin Kaepernick and J. Cole, man. They had like an interesting meeting. I wonder what they were talking about in that meeting. Like them two together, what they can come up with. I'm sure their ideas were just bouncing off of each other, man. It was incredible. It definitely was incredible just to see the pictures. I wasn't there, but it was incredible to see the pictures and the articles that came out about that different conversation that they had. And I really wish that, you know, I could have been a fly on the wall in that room, definitely, because I would have soaked up all of that knowledge and I would have been so engaged and so hyped to whatever they have coming out, because I know they have something coming out. And I definitely support that NFL boycott as well. I'm supporting that, man. If he can't go get a check, then why am I about to go spend a check? You know what I mean? Just know, because he deserved to be out on that field. I don't think he did anything wrong. All he did was stand up for his rights. He took a knee to what was wrong. You know what I mean? And so how are you going to put the man? How are you going to put the man out of business? Like, that's his life. Like, that's his job. How are you going to put the man out of business? I really, really I can't get with him. I can't get with the NFL. I don't agree with what they're doing right now by, you know, not offering him a contract. As many teams as there are in the NFL and no one wants to pick this man up. He was just a Super Bowl quarterback, you know, some years back. So the fact that no one wants to pick him up, that's a shame. You're like, and then you got Michael Vick talking trash, and, you know, he is actually a felon. So what's up? You know what I mean? So I think that's crazy. So definitely I stand with you, Colin, and I definitely stand with you, J. Cole, for whatever you guys got going on, whatever you guys are cooking up, definitely. And, man, if you was in D.C. last night and if you wasn't at that J. Cole concert, you missed out. I was all on everybody's timeline trying to figure out what was going on. Definitely everybody. Everybody was in the building last night to see that All Eyes concert with J. Cole, man. That was crazy. That was a hell of a concert, and all I did was see it from views. Like, I seen it from the screen, you know, from my phone screen, my iPad. Everything was going, definitely. So shout out to everyone who went to that J. Cole concert. I know they had an enjoyable time. They was empowered by it, because he definitely, you know, every time he gets on the stage, I got to see him maybe like a year ago out in Virginia, and every time he gets on the stage, he has a message, he has a purpose, and he's going to teach you guys something, whether you want to know it or not. You cannot not vibe with J. Cole. You know what I mean? So definitely shout out to everyone who is on that tour, who's going to see that tour, and definitely shout out to J. Cole, for real, for real. But today on Revive, we are talking about reclaiming your property today. We're going to be talking about real estate today here on Revive. Once again, today is August 9th, 2017. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. definitely follow the timeline on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC as well. We are live tweeting each and every show, so make sure you guys stay tuned to the Twitter and the Facebook because we post in every show as well. So definitely stay tuned to our social media handles. Also, we got Tab Money coming on with Tab Money Habit. This is her third episode here on Revive. Today, she's going to be talking about spend less and save more. How can we spend less and save more? And I know we all need that coaching. We all need somebody to give us a little tip on how we can save and spend less, because it's important, especially with how everything's going with Donald Trump, you know, calling out North Korea. Man, we got to be prepared. We got to be ready for whatever's going, so you can get your passport ready, get that airplane boarding pass, and get out of here, definitely, because Donald Trump is over here threatening North Korea. I have never seen it. How is a, and the crazy part is, it's like a lunatic threatening another lunatic. Both of them just as crazy. It's no one who's not crazier. Both of them are just as crazy. So it's like, who gonna be the dumb one first? Who gonna do something? Who gonna do something major like that first? And I honestly don't think that, I hope I'm saying his name right, Kim Jong-un. I hope that, you know, people don't underestimate that man. He's really someone who's taking over someone who has taken over North Korea and turned it into like a colony. Like, they're like marching on the sound of his beat, on his drum. Like, they're really moving how he tells them to move over there. And we as Americans, we're not ready for that. We're too free. This is called the land of the free. So to know that someone has the ability to, you know, tell you how to move, when to move, and then threaten us, and we threaten them right back, yo, it can really get real. It can definitely get real. But I do think we have a caller on the line, too, so I want to get to this caller before we get started with today's show. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hey, caller, you are live on... Okay, I guess we lost that caller. That's cool. But, yeah, so we were talking about what's going on in North Korea, and I think that that's crazy. Well, North Korea threatened America, and then Donald Trump said fire and fury. He wasn't backing down. He wasn't backing down. He really think that this is The Apprentice. This is not a game. This is not a reality TV show. This is real life, people. This is real life. So definitely stay up on that whole North Korea, Donald Trump thing. And that's why we're about to make a major connection here on Revive. We're about to make a very, very major connection here on Revive. We're about to link up with TLS, the Left Side Politics, man. They're going to come on every second and fourth Sunday of the month to educate us on politics one-on-one. So shout out to Keith over there with the Left Side Politics. Man, I'm extremely excited to have them and bring them on to the Revive platform because we need that education. He's a young man out there who went to school for politics, and he is educating us each and every day on his social media platform. So make sure you guys follow him at TLS_politics on both Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Yes, definitely. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So definitely follow him because you need to stay in the loop because he definitely will be coming on the Revive show very, very, very soon. I'm sorry. Very, very, very soon. And I'm excited that he is coming on and he's showing the Revive platform some love because we need to understand what is going on out here. We need the truth. No fake news. No fake news. No fake news at all. But yes, shout out to Auntie Maxine. Can I reclaim my time? I'm reclaiming my time. I am reclaiming my time. And that's exactly what we're doing here today on Revive. We are reclaiming our property. We're going to be talking to some very, very successful and dope real estate agents who turned it into like an entrepreneurship. Like they're doing so many different things. They have branched off and wrote books. Now some have scholarships. He has like an organization with the youth. It's so many different things that they have created for themselves just out of the lane of real estate. So we're definitely going to be talking to them today to educate us on how we can, you know, buy back our homes, how we can, you know, save our communities, stay in our communities, you know, develop our communities to the way that the society is definitely trying to, you know, develop our communities, because gentrification is real. You know what I mean? Gentrification is extremely real. And if you are living in the city of Philadelphia and you're listening to me right now, just go out your window, just step out your door. I'm sorry. Look out your window and turn around and just look. I'm sure your neighborhood did not look like that 2, 3, 6 months ago. Definitely. Because they're building. They're definitely building. And every time I go home to the city of D.C., they're building. You hear me? Like, you walk down a block and it doesn't even look like the block that I used to walk down when I was a child. So definitely gentrification is real, and that's why we're going to talk about it here today on Revive. We are learning how to reclaim our property. We are buying back our block. So definitely stay tuned. I know Tab got some insight on that as well. But we do have some really great guests coming up on the Revive show today. We also have a weekly thrill guest coming on too with Mental Motivation. They're going to be talking about their Black Gold Festival they have coming up this weekend. Well, it's actually been all month actually, but they're going to tell us a little bit about what they're doing this weekend with the festival and how, you know, you in the city of Philadelphia can definitely reach out to them and go see that play, go see everything that they're doing. So shout out to Black and Gold for coming onto the Revive platform today, the Black Gold Project. I'm extremely excited to be talking with them once again. They're amazing, amazing people, and they're holding it down for the theater, especially in the city of Philadelphia. When it comes to theater, they are the people you need to contact, because what they're doing with theater right now is some things that you have never seen before. So once again, shout out to Black Gold Project for always showing the Revive team some love. We really, really do appreciate it always. And I got Harmony the Goddess in the building with me today. Definitely shout out to Harmony the Goddess. She's holding it down in the studio as always. And also shout out to True Heart. She's not able to be here today because she's going to a writer's conference with KOGA, which is a Circle of Greatness Academy by Nehemiah Davis. So she's out there doing her thing, trying to better herself and brand her brand so they can, you know, they can elevate higher. So definitely shout out to Higher Level Communication. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Higher Level Communication and on Twitter at Higher Level Co. Shout out to them. Yo, Harmony, give yourself a shout out. Where do people can find you nowadays? Where can the people find you nowadays, Harmony?
You can find me definitely. Peace, love, and light to you all. You can definitely find me on Facebook, Harmony the Goddess, and then also Instagram, Harmony the Goddess. It's just plain and simple, Harmony the Goddess. That is my name. Living in peace, not in pieces, baby.
Definitely living in peace, not pieces. Understand that. Yo, when you say that, what do you actually mean? I feel like I'm starting to learn it, but break it down for us. When you say live in peace, not pieces, what does that actually mean to you?
I think living in peace is such an important thing for everyone. And it starts with yourself. It starts with loving yourself. It starts with knowing yourself. It starts with kind of creating a space that is safe for you, that is brave for you. So that way you're not taking on external energies or external vibrations that's going on around you, because it can definitely get out of hand. But if you're not grounded within yourself, then you're going to allow everything else to take it down with you.
Agree. Okay. And that's why we're talking about reclaiming our property here today on Revive, because we want to live in peace, not pieces. You know what I mean? We want to walk in our home and know that everything is well grounded. You dig? We want to know that our ceilings are not falling apart. We don't have any rodents. We don't have any abandons next to us, because we're building up our community each and every day. We're walking outside and we're saying hi to our neighbors. We're speaking to our neighbors because we know our neighbors. You know what I mean? That's what reclaim your property means. That's what buying black. But I'm saying that's what buying back your property means, buying back your block. That's exactly what it means. Coming outside and knowing that you're protected with your neighbors. You don't need police to police your street, because you have your neighbors to watch your home. You have your neighbors to watch your kids. You have your neighbors to watch, you know, your car when you're not around and things like that. That's what it means. And that's why we're going to be talking about it here today on Revive. Reclaim your property. We want to know your opinion. What does reclaim your property mean to you? When you hear that, when you hear the word gentrification, when you hear the phrase buy back your block, what it comes to your mind? We want to know. 215-490-9832. Once again, 215-490-9832. We want to know what you guys, you know, out there are thinking when it comes to real estate, reclaiming your property, buying back your block, things of that nature. What are you thinking? Definitely, we want to know what you are thinking. Yo, Harmony, When it comes to buying back your block, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? When it comes to reclaiming your property, real estate, things like that, how do you feel about gentrification? Like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
What comes to my mind is taking back what's mine and kind of expanding on that and helping the generations before me and the generations after me as well. And I feel that land is very, very valuable. So taking back my land is something that is very important and something that should be should be learned and relearned. Learned and relearned. Shout out to Derrick Grace. Should be learned and relearned as well. So I think it's very important.
Definitely. It's definitely important. And I love how you said you got to learn, because there's a lot of things that we don't know when it comes to actually buying property, when it comes to real estate, when it comes to home loans, and when it comes to mortgages and interest rates and, you know, property taxes and all those other things. It's a lot of things that we have not been educated on. It's not something that you learn in school. You know, you don't learn that in grade school. So it's like, where are we going to get that education from? You know, especially because 9 times out of 10, our parents don't even own their home. They're renters. So it's like, how are we going to get that education if no one's out there to educate us about it? So definitely when it comes to buying back our block, when it comes to reclaiming the property, and also real estate in general, we need the education behind it so we can go out there and do what we have to do when it comes to, you know, the land and everything like that. If we don't know, we won't do it, you know? So that's why we're talking about it here today on Revive. We're trying to educate and re-educate the people each and every day. We are going to go to a quick commercial break. But before we go to that quick commercial break, I do want to remind you guys that we do have our first guest coming on, which is our weekly thrill guest for mental motivation, is Black Gold Project. They're going to be talking about an event that they're putting on this weekend in the city of Philadelphia. So make sure you guys stay tuned. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. Spread the word. We're live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive each and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC.
Hello. Yes. Can I ask a few questions about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone. Hello. My name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
Not available?
Hello. My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about the apartment on Park Street.
Just been rented.
Hello. I am Chen Ling.
My name is Khalidin Ali.
I'm Tuan Vo.
Hello. My name is Moshe Goldberg. I use a wheelchair.
It's gone.
Not available.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call us. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law.
It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Hey. Proof of consciousness. Proof of consciousness. POC. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind.
Yes, yes, yes. We are back on Revive. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, PLC. Once again, spread the word, spread the word. We are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to tune in. You can download the app or go to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. You can hear me, your girl, PLC, each and every winning Wednesday on Revive from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Definitely. And follow the timeline at Revive _PLC. POC in both Facebook and Twitter. Once again, that's Revive _POC on both Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe to that beautiful newsletter that Harmony the God has put together for us each and every month to inform you guys on what we're doing here at Revive, all the events that we attend, all the interviews that we have, all recaps of all the shows that we did for the month prior to. Definitely stay tuned and subscribe to that Revive newsletter. You do not want to miss that Revive newsletter. Everything is in there. We also got some Revive gear in there as well. Support, support, support this Revive movement. Definitely. We got some 90s gear. Also, we got some Prophet for Profit. We got that Prophecy. We got that Prophecy gear out there as well. So definitely stay tuned to the Revive platform. Today, once again on Revive, today's show is entitled Reclaim Your Property. Once again, today's show on Revive is Reclaim Your Property. We are buying back the block today. Once again, we are buying back the block today. And like I was saying earlier, gentrification is so real. Gentrification is so real. I see it each and every day. You know, the homes that we used to live in now cost $200,000, $300,000. And when we were living there, we couldn't even get the people to come pick up our trash. You know what I mean? We couldn't even get snow removal, things like that. So to know that, you know, as they push us out, as they continue to push us out, they continue to push more and more, you know, people in. They're doing more for the people that they're pushing in than who the people that they actually pushed out. And I'm learning that crazy. And the thing about it is that, you know, we were in the inner cities. We were that urban community, right? So they're pushing that urban community out. And it's crazy to see the dynamic and how everything is shifting right now. It's truly, truly amazing to see how that dynamic is shifting. So it is crazy. I do think we have a call on the line, so I do want to get to this caller. They actually gave us a call back. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Milan. I'm calling from Baltimore.
Oh, what's up? What's up? What's up? How you doing, Milan? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Did you have a question or a comment today for the show?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in about the buying back the block topic. And I pretty much just wanted to tell what it meant to me. I think it pretty much means, like, not being so easily bought, because, like, we have to really stop allowing, like, any and everyone to, like, throw money, a couple dollars at us to control us. And it kind of reminds me of, like, all these settlements that we're taking to silence, like, our cries or our calls for help as far as police brutality. But, like, that's a whole nother big subject, right?
Definitely.
So it's like we have to really realize that it's bigger than, like, instant gratification. Don't think about that check they willing to cut you to move out of your neighborhood.
Exactly.
Think about, like, don't think about just the right now. Think on the grander scheme about, like, future generations and building for them. Think that's we have to start with ourselves and not being bought by them.
Definitely. I agree with you on that, because 9 times out of 10, we think that, you know, they give us a big check. They're giving us a settlement for our home when our home is actually worth more. Where we're located is worth more than the check that they're even giving us. And then sometimes we're just oblivious to the fact that actually, you know, that saying, like, I got to get out the hood. I got to get out the hood. That notion, I just got to get out, without actually knowing that getting out the hood is actually staying in. You know, it's a contradiction to itself, because by you being in the hood and building up that community, you're getting yourself out the hood, because now you're turning it into a community that everyone can live in, and it's no longer considered the hood anymore. So, like, the same people that just, you know, bought your home from you and how they turned the entire hood around and no longer looks like the hood, we can actually do that ourselves.
Exactly. I agree 100%.
Definitely, and I appreciate you calling in and supporting the Revive platform. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
So the caller Malam, she made a very, very great point that, you know, we don't even understand that that check is nothing. That check is minimum. You know what I mean? It's so much more out there that we can claim. Why do you think these people keep knocking on your door, you know, every 5 minutes, keep calling you saying, ma'am, if you sell right now, we can give you this amount of money. If you sell right now, we can give you this amount. So the fact that they keep going up and up in prices because you're not ready to sell just yet, think about how much you're actually giving away. If you do your research, it's so many different things that you can do. You can, like, put your home up on, like, what, Zillow or Trillo or something like that. I think that's what it's called. And it actually tells you how much your home is actually worth. Me and my sister had my aunt do that one time, and she was blown away to see how much her home was actually worth. And she was considering selling her home because she wanted to move and things like that, but she did not know how much her home was actually worth. The property value on her home was tremendously high because of what they were doing around her home. You know what I mean? She may live in a certain area, but two blocks over is booming. You know, she's downtown. So you have to understand what you're, you know, where you are and actually how much, you know, your property is and how much, you know, you actually have at stake. You have an asset there. You know, when people come to ask you to sell your home, that means you actually have an asset. I would advise all of you guys to keep your assets as much as possible, as long as possible. Definitely, because if someone wants it, don't give it up. You know, you got to figure out why they want it. Just as bad as they want it, you need to figure out why they want it that bad. Definitely. And you live in Jersey, Harmony. So how is the gentrification going on in the city that you live in?
I'm not too sure about that, but I'm sure that my neighborhood is definitely changing since when I was younger till now. The environment is changing. The houses are definitely being rebuilt. And the stores, I feel, is the shop rights are taken out and they're put in like a dollar store or like a little poppy store. So it's more so like a low income now compared to what it was before when I was growing up. It's definitely a difference now.
I can agree with you on that one. That was a great point that you just brought up. Definitely, you just brought up a great point just now about what they're bringing in, you know, and how they're taking things out. You know, it's not just the people. It's actually, you know, the grocery stores, the mechanic shops, the things that we actually need, the dentist, the doctor's office, the things like that we actually need. You have to go so far just to get to them now because they're so pushed out into the suburban areas. So if you're in the inner city, you know, you have to take 3 buses, 4 trains just to get to the doctors or just to get to the dentist or to even get to the local grocery store. The local grocery store is still considered about, what, 5 to 7 miles away from you if you're in the inner city. And that's a problem. So we're stuck with poppy stores and we're stuck with dollar stores. That kills me. As many, they build dollar stores. It feels like it takes them a dollar to build the dollar store, honestly, as fast as they're building these dollar stores. To be completely honest with you, they're putting dollar stores strategically in places of, you know, all African-American people. So that's all we're eating. That's all we're consuming, things that cost a dollar. You know what I mean? They have McDonald's, Burger King, Checkers, Popeyes lined up in our neighborhood. So all we consume is, you know, things that cost a dollar, things that are not good for us. To, you know, it's strategically. It's everything is done strategically. And I need you guys to wake up about that. You guys need to pay attention. I know we're talking about, you know, reclaiming your property, but you also need to worry about what you're consuming as you're eating, you know, because what's around your property, such as the grocery stores and everything like that, still takes an effect when it comes to the property value of your home. So definitely keep that in the back of your mind as well. But it's definitely time for Tab Money Habits today here on Revive. I do not want you to miss Tab Money Habits. Today's episode on Tab Money Habits is entitled Spend Less and Save More. We're going to go to a very, very, very quick commercial break. Right after that, we got Tab Money coming on the Revive show today. I'm excited, man. I love when I get on the air with my sister. It's like a Russell Brand takeover each and every day. You know what time it is. We'll be right back after this commercial.
it was cool because I got a chance to speak to young black males all over the country about this new idea called Thug Life, which is a new kind of black power.
Now, when I say Thug Life, I mean that shit, because these white folks see us as thugs. I don't care what y'all think. I don't care if you think you a lawyer, if you a man, if you an African-American, if you whatever the fuck you think you are. We thugs and niggas to these motherfuckers, you know? And until we own some shit, I'm going to call it what like it is. How you going to be a man and we starving?
Go ahead.
You know? And we, you can walk by five different houses, ain't a man in either one of them motherfuckers. Go ahead. How we going to be a man? How we going to be African-Americans? Go ahead. We out here dying. We thugs and we niggas until we set this shit right. Trust me when I tell you that.
Young black males out there identify with Thug Life, but I couldn't handle it. I could handle it, but not right away.
Mr. Shakur, can we get a comment from you?
Hell no. Thug Life. Thug Life. That's my comment.
What's that mean?
This is young.
What did happen? Thug Life.
Imagine you have 14,000 people ready to do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? When you have OG criminals calling me, telling me they want me to lead their movement. I mean, I'm gonna have a problem.
Well, we're moving on.
Yes, yes, we are back on Revive today. Once again, today is Winning Wednesday here on Revive. Today is August 9th, 2017. Tune in, spread the word. Right now, Tab Money is coming onto the Revive platform. Follow us on both Facebook and Twitter also so you can get this dose of information Tab is about to kick out for us right now. Spend less, save more. Yo, Tab Money, how can they spend less and save more, Tab?
Yo, POC, what it do?
What it do? What it do, Tab? How can they spend less and save more today?
All right, so today's topic, we can run into it. Today's topic is spend less, save more. So my first icebreaker I got, I'm just coming straight off the back. I got a question for the listeners. Are you a consumer or are you a buyer?
Good
POC,
question.
Let me know. Answer for me.
I'm a consumer / buyer, because I ain't all the way there yet. So I still got to, like, buy, you know, what I'm – I got to buy what I'm trying to get people to invest in me. So I got to buy it from, like, a wholesaler to get where I'm trying to be, if that makes sense. So, like, half and half.
Okay, we understand. Ultimately, everybody, you do have to buy, but majority, do you spend most of your time consuming – or are you a buyer? Like, are you?
Oh, my bad. I took that too literal. Definitely too literal. I'm a consumer. I'm definitely a consumer. I don't buy too much.
Okay. Is Harmony in the building?
Definitely.
Harmony, are you a consumer or a seller?
I'm definitely a consumer right now, but I'm in the process of being a seller with creating my own products as we speak.
Okay, so I just want everyone to understand that that's what you keep, you need to remind yourself throughout your day, throughout your week. Keep asking yourself, are you a consumer or are you a consumer or you're a seller? And the goal is to become a seller. You do not want to be a consumer. Right now, majority of us out here are consumers. And I know 2 weeks ago, my last episode, we was getting into paying yourself first, operating on a percentage of our income, and also, basically budgeting out our income. How can we operate on a percentage of our income? So this week, the spending habit I got for y'all, that the challenge that I really need y'all to work on is writing down what you spend every day. Every item that you purchase, that you swipe your card for, that you spend cash on, I need you to write it down in a journal. Your phone, they even have apps. So if you need an app, if you're an app person, go get you an app on your phone. You literally can write down everything you spend your money on. If you got tedious or OCD like me, you might want to categorize it so you can label, like, yeah, pretty much categorize it, because that's going to lead up until our next step, which is budgeting. So once we figure out what we actually spending on, what our habits are, we can then go to budgeting. All right, so today, PLC, what you spend your money on?
Today, I bought a Subway sandwich. I was starving, man. I ain't had no lunch.
What else?
That's all I bought. It was $5.
$5 exactly.
Nah, you know they got taxed. It was $5.07.
Okay, Harmony, what you spend your money on today?
I'm trying to live a little better, so I got some fruit, and I also paid some bills today that I was a little backed up on, but I definitely paid bills and got some fruit.
What's your total?
Altogether, it was $5.47.
Okay. Yeah, I like y'all budgets. Y'all keep it minimum. So I'm about the same thing. I just bought me a sandwich for lunch today. I didn't have any groceries to make lunch for the rest of the week, so I only made it through half of the week, which is preparing for lunch. But the habit is just to be mindful and be aware of actually what you're spending your money on. So some of the things that we can eliminate costs. So I'm going to give an example. Since PLC, Harmony, and myself, we living in a really tight budget, so we can become investors, so we can buy back the block eventually. PLC, just know that I love the fact that I'm on today's show. This is a great show to be on. Definitely. I hope you ask me a little bit of questions about it at the end. I'm going to save some time because I got to get in this conversation before I end today.
I got questions I got questions that people ask me to ask you about real estate, so I definitely got some questions for you before I let you go.
We say at the end for that. So I'm going to give a pretty much example. All right, so we're a college student. I'm a junior. I'm taking 19 credits. I have a job also on campus. I'm in work study, and I also am a full-time athlete. I play basketball. All right, so my average day, I'm going to go to the cafe. I'm going to give me some food. If I'm already going to use my ID, so I'm going to get in on a normal cafe ID for breakfast. I'm going to come through, go to my first class. I'm going to stop at the snack bar, give me a sandwich, give me the soda and the chips that come with it. We're going to say on the average we spend $10 for lunch. We also going to say on average we spend $10 for either breakfast and or dinner. That's $20. Then we're going to say we get gas. We spend $20 on that. Then we're also going to say that it's Friday. I'm going to make it a Friday because I know me and POC on Friday is what we do. We stop and get our vices. So we're going to say we want to spend about $30 on vices. Then also, we're going to go out. We done finished all our classes. We don't work today. We're going to go out. We're going to hit the student campus bar. We're going to pay $5 to get in, and we're going to spend $30 on drinks at the bar. So total where we at, we're somewhere under $150. Imagine spending this every weekend this semester. How much money do you think we're able to save? Just an estimate, PLC.
How much we can save? Maybe about a good 45.
Out on the Friday, Saturday night. over the semester, and you know it's junior year, so you kind of getting into a groove of college, you know, you hanging out, you know, you got your set friends.
Yeah, how much are we starting with? Harmony got a good question. What are we starting with?
You just got a normal work study job, so on the average, you're getting somewhere between $8 to $12, depending on your work study.
$7.25. They did not raise the minimum wage at all. That's why Bernie Sanders is not elected, because he wanted to raise the minimum wage. So it is still $7.25, definitely. So
it depends. When you want Pennsylvania, we in different parts of the world.
Okay, so in PA right now it's $7.25, and I actually was a work study student, so I do know how it is to live off a work study check. So with a work study check, you getting anywhere between like $207, $215 max, right? So. All right. 215. See, when I got gas, so that's 25. I got food, because I only eat seafood at this time, so that's another 25, because I'm not eating no cat food. So after all that, I probably got a good $75 in my pocket after I do everything. Yeah.
And over the semester, so we gonna say.
What you mean over the semester? Tab.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What you mean when you say over the semester?
All right, so imagine we start in August, fall semester from August to about December. We start work study September, like, and then we go all the way to the end of the semester. You know, we're going out every weekend. So that you get paid every 2 weeks over the semester, how much do you think you are actually spending on the weekends, on your Fridays and Saturdays as a student?
Well, if we're talking about over the semester, and I'm just being honest, I don't think I'm going to have anything to bring home with me, you know, over Christmas break, or even if it's a spring semester, I don't think I'm going to have anything to bring home with me unless I'm getting like a check on my way out the door for summer break. But no, like, college was real, so you're pretty much spending everything you have just to survive.
So, yeah, so that's my point. We're just trying to get to a number because, like, just imagine, just like I said, Fridays and Saturdays, I think on the average over the semester, like you said, you spend almost $75, you bring it home to yourself. You probably going to spend at least $30 on the weekend going out every weekend, or maybe $40 every weekend going out.
That is true.
That up over the semester, I'm just, like I said, it's going to be almost about $600, whether you're subconsciously know you're spending that amount, or you consciously know you're spending that amount. And then that's my whole goal of just to actually writing down what we actually spending, so we can be conscious of what we're actually, how much we're actually putting out and versus bringing in.
Okay, so let me hear it. What you saying?
Oh, so that's just my point. So, like, I just wanted you to understand that over time it adds up. Literally adds up. So what we can do, the next steps, once we realize what we're actually jotting down and we realize our spending habits, now we can eliminate some of our spending habits that are putting dents in our pockets or that are wasteful. So, for example, going to the bar every weekend. I know a bunch of millennials, we hang out and we spend a lot of money just going out to the bar and lounges and different things like that. If we cut our budget, because I literally did this in grad school, I would leave grad school, go home, go straight to the bar, and spend about $60 every night just so I can eat dinner and, of course, hang out and mingle and different things. $60. So as I'm jotting down my budget, jotting down what I'm spending my money on, including bills, transportation, things I spend my money on, and then also wasteful things, it was time for me to save so I can buy a house and move out my mom's house. What I did, the first thing that I cut my food costs, eating out. I realized I was spending $60 just going out to have dinner after work, after school. Boom. It took me about less than a year to save $10,000 just cutting off my food costs. And I know tons of people who waste money going to the mall, shopping, eating out. And if we just pick certain spending habits that we can eliminate, then that's where we can start saving more. So I have a question for PLC and Harmony. What spending habit do you can think of right now that you think you're going to slowly eliminate from your consuming diet?
I'm going to let Harmony go first on this one. I'm going to let her go first on this one, definitely. How about you go first? Nah, Tab, you go first. Give an example. What would you cut back, you know, for your spending habits? What would you cut back first?
What would I cut back? I'm already doing it, so I can tell you what I have cut back on and that I'm trying to be consistent on, which is my food costs. I don't eat out as much. So I like to prepare foods, especially for the week. I do meal prep. I also cut back on transportation. I moved to D.C. I bought a house in D.C., so I got rid of my car. I use Metro. I walk a lot. I ride the bus, and I also cycle often. And then another thing that I cut off is I don't go out on the weekends anymore. Like, you can ask my friends. I'll invite you over. I'll cook for you. I'll give you libations, whatever you need, but I'm not going out the house. I pretty much put everything inside of my house so I do not have to leave. And I make it a comfortable place to invite my friends over so they can come and enjoy too as well. So what about you, Harmony?
I definitely agree with cutting back on the food habits because I'm learning how to prep my own food and cook my own food instead of always eating out because I love me some Chick-fil-A. but I definitely stopped eating out a lot. I don't go to restaurants as much. And I started buying just fruit, kind of tuna fish, salmon, just more so things that I can kind of prep at home. Also, what I would like to start cutting back on is libations because that is huge for me. So that's one thing that I would definitely cut back on. And then also what I would like to cut back on is just different activities that I choose. I'm choosing more of the free activities and the free jam sessions and poetry slams and kind of saving for the bigger events that comes forth. So
I definitely encourage that. I always tell people free dates are the best dates. Like, even if you're in a relationship, don't stress your partner out just to go on dates, Valentine's, gifts and all that. Be more strategic about it. Let's save. Let's buy a house. Let's buy some investments. Let's buy some assets. Let's get some stocks together. Don't pressure anyone to spend money just to be in a relationship. Free dates are the best dates. Free activities are the best activities. So, and they're definitely out there. Just do your research. PLC, what you got? What you eliminated from your consumer diet?
Man, you know me. You know me, Tab. You know me. I got to cut. I have cut back tremendously, tremendously on the labels. I was definitely someone who had to be fly at all times. I had to have the new, the improved, the latest in the datest. You know what I mean? So I have cut back on being fly. You know, I'm okay with being a Bama. Definitely. I was like, yeah, I can.
Part of the Bama is more creative.
Yeah, yes, I love how you put that. I'm just more creative with how I get dressed and how I'm getting fly nowadays. And 9 times out of 10, I'm not wearing nothing that don't got Revive on it. So that's definitely how I start cutting back because I have my own now. So I wear my own clothes. I wear my own brand. You know what I mean? I'm repping everything Revive every time I walk out the house, definitely. So that's...
Okay.
A tremendous cutback for me, and I'm so happy that I cut back on that.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, listeners, that's what I need y'all to do. I need y'all to analyze y'all's situation, reflect, meditate, figure out what you can eliminate from your consumer diet. Just one spending habit. It can be something close to you, not so close, something easy. I'd rather you challenge yourself, but we just need to eliminate one thing. And from there, we're going to take it to budgeting. So once we eliminate, once we write down our spending habits and write down the exact amount, don't do no average, don't estimate, don't round up, get the facts. If you got to go back and get the receipts, the bank statements, credit card statements, all that, write it down. Even when you pay your bills, write it down, that's included. Because what we do from there is we create a budget. So I'm not going to go too in-depth to the budget. But for most part, for the budget, what we're going to do is we're going to estimate what we're going to spend for the next month. So we've written down everything we have spent for the last month, but then we're going to project how much we're going to spend for the next month. So we're going to do projections. And once we take those projections, we're going to write down what we spend again for that same month, and then we're going to subtract. We're going to take our projections, what we projected from the beginning of the month, and we're going to subtract of what we actually spent for the end of the month. And then my next episode, we'll dive right into budgeting and what we'll actually do with those numbers. So, PLC, please ask me the questions that everybody wants to ask me, please, about reclaiming your property.
I got you. But before I do that, I do want to let everyone know right now we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that's timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can download the TuneIn app or go directly to the TuneIn website and just search Time for an Awakening. You hear Meet Your Girl PLC with my sister Tab Money today with Tab Money Habits. So make sure you guys stay tuned. We are live tweeting and posting on Facebook right now as well. So follow the Revive timelines on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_PLC. So yes, we are talking with Tab Money right now with Tab Money Habits for everyone who just tuned in. So right now, today's show is entitled Reclaim Your Property. We are buying back the block. Yo, Tab, what that mean to you? When you hear reclaim your property and buy back the block, what's the first thing that come to your mind?
Black Wall Street. And these have every city. I need everybody's, like, even Rick Ross got the song Buy Back the Block, which I love because it's relatable to our millennials and to our generation. So,
you kind of fading out a little bit. What did you say?
We need our own schools, our own transportation.
Yo, Tab, go back wherever you was just at because your signal is very low.
Oh, all right. Sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
All right, so what I was saying, that what it really means to me is that we need to have our own schools, our own metro system, our own police department, our houses, our own plazas, our own grocery stores, everything. Like, that's literally what Buy Back the Block to me was, that we need to literally own our own land and property. And we need to be consumers
of
those businesses.
I was about to say, how can we do that? How can we, you know, how can we get the equity to actually get back the block? How can we start there? What's your advice?
So the first things first is you can continue to listen to Tab Money Habits every second or fourth Wednesday so we can learn how to save this money, because you can't do nothing without capital. So once we save our money, just like I told you, I stopped eating out for less than a year and I was able to save $10,000. And I only needed $8,000 to put a down payment on my house. And I'm in my house for 2 years now. And I'm paying either less or just about the same as people doing rent. And the only thing is different is I'm paying myself. I'm not paying no one else. And there was definitely houses that was paying $600 a month, $800 a month, $1,000 a month, $1,400 a month, $2,000 a month. It depends on what your budget is. And that's the same with commercial property. That's the same with lots and land. It just depends on what city you're in, what state you're in. And I advise you to look into it and invest. These cities right now, Philly, for one, is a city to invest in. D.C., you're slowly missing out if you don't have too much capital. Atlanta is something to invest in. North Carolina is something to invest in. But people don't want to move south. People think, like, oh, I don't want to be displaced, but I think you just need to take advantage of where your towns are. If everyone gets pushed out, why not buy that whole town up for cheap if we already can afford it?
Definitely.
And have our own stores.
Definitely.
Have our own grocery stores and then consume that way.
I agree with you, especially if you're living next to an abandoned. It's like, why are you living next to abandoned? Why don't you clean that up? You know, they have, what's it called? What's the, it's not a hoarder law. Is it called a hoarder? A squatter law. You know, especially in the city of D.C., they have this squatter law. If you stay there for a certain amount of time, they cannot kick you out of the property. And a lot of people don't know that because we're not educated on that. If you, you know, if you go into a vacant building or a vacant home and you're homeless and you have nowhere else to go, you cannot get any help and you're in the city of D.C., I'm not sure all the, you know, the legal terms that go with it, but this is the information I do know. If you're in there for a certain amount of time, they cannot kick you out. They cannot kick
that
you out because of the squatter law
true.
That they have in D.C. Definitely.
That's so true in D.C., and it's the same in a few other cities. But like you said, it's the knowledge that we lack, that we don't know how to take advantage of buying back the block, because a lot of people are doing it. I know people are doing it in Memphis. I know people are doing it in Florida. It's so much property, that Section 8 property. And the thing is that we can sell it to each other, sell it to your friend, sell it to your uncle, sell it to your family members. Mm-hmm. That's how we're going to get people to sustain as a community.
Definitely.
If we're trying to build.
Definitely. We got a caller in line, so I want to get to this caller really quick before we get to our next guest today. Hey, caller, you are live on Revive. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hey, caller, you are live on Revive. What's your name and where are you calling from? All right, Tab. I think
I'm sorry. You must. I didn't know you were. Anthony.
No, Anthony. I know who you are. I wasn't talking about you. Thank you for being eager, though. I appreciate you and your support,
okay,
Anthony.
No
I cannot
problem.
Wait
My
to get
apologies.
To you.
I was trying to wait.
I know you're ready. I'm ready for you. Definitely. Anthony is one of our guests that we're having on today's show, Tab. He's coming on to educate us about real estate. He's a real estate agent in West Philadelphia right now, Tab.
I did my research. I checked them out. I'm definitely feeling the movement, and I love how relatable you are. And I just hope that people are listening and we're very receptive to you tonight, because the goal of Tab Money is to buy back the block. Like, Tab Money Habits is to buy back the block. It's not just to save your money and just be, I got so much money in the bank. No, it's actually to have investments. It's to have assets. It's to actually to be able to give someone else a job. Like, we need to create jobs. You need to be able to create a business, buy a store, barbershop, beauty salon, daycare, whatever it is, and create jobs for your community. Create jobs for your cousin. Create jobs for your grandma. Create jobs for your aunt. It don't matter. We need that nepotism. We need to bring it back onto our side as well and take advantage of it.
I kind of agree with you just a little bit right there when you talk about nepotism. I believe in nepotism halfway. I know that sounds, you know, flugazi, but like nepotism is literally when it's passed down to you, like it's just given to you. I feel as though that everyone out here needs to work for something. You know, the Waltons are very, very strategic of how they, you know, they pass down their businesses. And I think that we should do the exact same. They're not just giving it to any old Tom and Joe because they have the last name and this is my first son or this is my first daughter. I don't think that it should work that way. I think nepotism should, you know, be strategic in how you're passing it down, knowing that they're working for it and they're going to keep the business afloat, you know what I mean, versus just giving it to someone.
That's what smart people do, intelligent people do, because you don't want to pass down your business to someone who's not going to care for it or elevate it to the next level. So, of course, you're not going to just give it to anyone who's going to run the business into the ground, but you do want to train the people. Like, you literally have to train the people that you want to work for you. Train the people that you want to live in your houses and your property to have that mindset that you do. I have to see your vision, and our business have to align.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Definitely agree with you wholeheartedly. And that's why we have you on Revive every second and fourth Wednesday right now, bringing Tab Money Habits. The title of today, Tab Money Habits, was Spend Less, Save More. Yo, Tab, before we let you go, the question that we had, I'm going to say an anonymous guest when it came down to getting this question answered. They said, how can I invest in real estate if I am in my early stages of my career without ten thousands of dollars? I don't have the money. I just have good credit.
You have good credit and you have no money. So, all right. So what I tell people is that you need at least $8,000 to $10,000 for the down payment regardless. So you got to just stack. You got to play the patient game and you just got to save your money and you got to keep your credit up at the same time. It's hard, but you just got to do it. You just got to maintain over a certain period of time. And then the next thing that you do, since you do have a good credit score, is that you can apply for first-time home buyer programs. And that's also what I did. So, like I said, all it takes is a good credit score to be in the program. And then you got to look up per your city, per your state, first-time home buyer programs. And then as soon as you qualify, you're able to get something at low price. Literally, like I said, $8,000. And that's very cheap for a home to put on payment. Most people who do not qualify for a first-time home buyer program, that I usually recommend them saving $20,000, $10,000 for closing, and then also $10,000 for the down payment.
Man, you got to come next Wednesday and the next two weeks from now, you got to come on and talk about how we can get that $10,000, $20,000. You said it so easy. Like, oh, yeah, just save $20,000. You know how hard it is
save
five?
That's what the last two episodes, if y'all paying attention, that's what the last two episodes is really about.
I'm paying attention.
Paying yourself first. You got to pay yourself first. That's the saving. That's the most important thing ever. That's literally, it takes time. It's not a night and day thing. It's a season thing. It's a takes time thing. And you literally have to pay yourself day in and day out first. And then if you write down your spending habits and eliminate some of your spending habits, which is today's episode, you're able to save more money. You're able to put more money aside so that you can be able to save faster. So that's the goal. Save more money to save faster so you can invest quicker.
Yes, I guess that's the question. What is your consumer diet looking like nowadays? Definitely. So, Tab, go ahead. Huh?
You hit on the nail. What is your consumer diet? Are you a seller or are you a buyer?
Definitely. And that was the first question you had for us today. So we put that out on our timelines.
You got to become a buyer. We got to buy back the block. That's the goal. Become a buyer.
Definitely.
Buy back the block.
I love your passion, Tab. I love your passion. But we got to let you go today because we got to get
Anthony over.
We got to get Anthony Lee on the line today, definitely, because he's going to educate us on what he does in the beautiful city of Philadelphia. He is in West Philadelphia, and that's actually where I'm living right now. So I'm really excited to know, you know, what information he has for the Revive listeners and audience today. Yo, Tab, so go ahead and give yourself a shout out where the people can follow you and how they can stay on top if they need some, you know, more tips or how, you know, they can get in contact with you for some more Tab money habit tips.
All right, y'all. So y'all already know what it is. It's at CBE Lifestyle on Twitter and Instagram. And it's also Tab Money. The OM money is a zero because we're about them O's. And on Twitter and Instagram. And then also on CBELifestyle.com, if you click the free knowledge section, I'm dropping all my notes, everything you need to get the study habit. Take some notes over on the free knowledge on the CBE Lifestyle website.
Perfect, perfect. So definitely we're going to put that out on our timeline, CBELifestyle.com. That's lifestyle with no S, just CBELifestyle.com. And go to, what are they going to again, Tab? Free knowledge, right?
Free knowledge.
Awesome. So once again, I thank you for coming on the Revive platform. Make sure you guys go click that link on CBELifestyle.com. Shout out to College Bound Entertainment for always holding down the Revive team and platform. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, Tab.
Hey.
Peace. All right. That's Tab Money with Tab Money Habits every second and fourth Wednesday of the month. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Do your homework. Read the books, man. She out here dropping some knowledge for you guys. I know you guys want to get your pockets right. I know you guys want to get that home. I know you guys want to get that car. Definitely. So make sure you guys, you know, just think about what your consumer diet is tonight before you go to sleep. Think about what you are consuming and answer that question to yourself. Are you a buyer or are you a seller? And if you are either one, you know, which one is benefiting you the most? Which one can help you get those, you know, that car, that house, that mortgage, all that? So make sure you guys stay tuned to Revive platform and Tab Money Habits and the timeline, because we are coming with some deep knowledge. Up next, we have our first guest, Anthony Lee, who is going to educate us on real estate, especially in the city of Philadelphia, because we know how bad gentrification is in this beautiful city of Philadelphia. So we want to know, how can we get some, you know, how can we buy black our block? So make sure you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break with Anthony Lee.
Man, it is hot today. Whoa, it's hot out here, man. It is hot today.
America, people dream of home ownership. Your race, national origin, color of your skin should not affect your dream of owning a home. All too often, lenders target minorities and minority communities with bad loan products, destroying dreams and ruining lives. Lending discrimination is unlawful. If you believe a lender has targeted you with a bad loan, call HUD at 1-800-669-9777. Or go to HUD's website, hud.gov/fairhousing. HUD, one call, many answers.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl, POC. Hey! It's your girl, POC.
You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. We are back live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Yes, we are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to tune in and just search Time for an Awakening. You hear me, your girl, POC, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. each and every winning Wednesday here on Revive. Definitely stay tuned. Today's show is entitled Reclaim Your Property. We're talking about real estate here today on Revive. How can we buy back our blocks? How can we get our community back? How can, you know, we evolve with time in our own communities? We don't want to get pushed out. We want to stay in. How can we build our community? That's what we're talking about here today on Revive. Yo, Harmony, who we have coming up on the Revive platform?
Today we have Anthony Lee. Anthony Lee has been a full-time real estate professional and licensed PA agent since 2013. Lee's area of expertise is residential properties. Providing the highest level of integrity and personalized service are the keys to Anthony Lee's success. He utilizes the latest technologies, market research, and business strategies, along with his drive, persistence, creativity, and knowledge to exceed expectations of his clients. Lee's real estate passion serves to invest his expertise and experience in his community. And for this reason, he has sought to expand his resources and networking by joining West Philadelphia Real Estate in June of 2016. It's so great to have you. Welcome to Revive, Mr. Lee.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming on and supporting the Revive platform today, Anthony. We've been hearing a lot about you, especially in the city of Philadelphia. And some of my friends who go to Cheney, they were bragging about the book that you had. And I was like, yo, I got to get them on my show. We're talking about real estate, and I'm definitely going to reach out to you. So how are you doing today, Anthony?
Man, I'm doing good. I really can't complain.
Awesome.
Good to be able to make moves and connect with good people like you guys.
Definitely. And I know she read your bio, but no one can tell you like you. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started.
So my name is Anthony Lee. From Philadelphia, born and raised, went to West Catholic High School, played basketball. Then I went on to Newman College. I studied early childhood elementary education, completely nothing to do with real estate. However, you know, just being anxious to get a job, I took a job for the money. And I had that job probably from 2010 to 2012. 2012, that was the first time that I was faced with really being an adult when that job laid me off the day of New Year's, like January 1st.
Wow.
Came into work and they sat me in the office, laid me off. And from there, I just was like, I never want to have that feeling again of anybody controlling my destiny and my income. Fortunately, at that time, I still lived in my mom's back room. And I didn't have any kids at the time, so I was able to go ahead and pursue my dream of real estate. I always was passionate about real estate. For me, I always just been an entrepreneur, and I really just looked at real estate as a way that I get to be flexible, make my own schedule, and also I get to help my community and work with the people in my community. So from there, 2013, I went and got licensed. And I've just been pushing and growing ever since. I bought my first investment property, which was a duplex, back in 2012 while I worked and had my first job as a first-time home buyer.
Awesome.
And from there, I pretty much just got hooked. Doing that transaction just gave me that that light bulb effect. Like, yo, you got to really get into real estate. Like, if you bought one, you could buy multiple. Matter of fact, when you buy multiple, you can help other people buy houses.
Definitely.
So between buying that first property and getting laid off, that was really my push to really jump out here and want to be, you know, that real estate mogul that I'm looking to pursue in my career.
Definitely. Before I get started with the questions today, Anthony, I do got to ask this question first. Is your mom still in the same home that you were in the back room?
She is still in that house, yes.
Awesome, awesome. So you guys are keeping the block strong.
That's my safe haven. If anything ever fails, you know, always know mom gonna have a house.
That's awesome. I was saying it in a sense because you know how people, once they get to a certain caliber, they say, you know, I got to get my mom out the hood. I got to get myself out the hood and things of that nature. And, you know, for you to actually keep your mom where you guys grew up, even though as you're, you know, you're rising and you're doing a lot of big things and your name is getting out there even more, you're like, no, I'm keeping it, you know, in my community. I'm keeping it in the city that helped me grow to be the person I am today. So big ups to you. Definitely shout out to your mom for staying in the home, too.
Well, that, and I will say, all right, I'm doing my thing, but I'm not that mogul yet. But when I get to that point, best believe mom and dad will be moving, you know, we'll still have that house, but they will be moving to a different area once we get to that position. But it's more so right now, you know, it's a central location, it's no complaints, and for real, I think my mom and them probably got the mortgage almost paid off. Mm-hmm. So with the whole buying back the block, that's the goal. You want to keep that property. You know, a lot of people that I grew up, grandmom was the only one that had the house.
True.
Everybody lived in grandmom's house. They would rotate grandmom's house. But in this case, you know, it's my grandmom still got her house. My mom got her house. So we got a few houses that we could pass down generation to generation, you know, especially if all the mortgages is paid off.
Definitely. So that leads to my next question. So you say you bought your first investment property, and by you doing that, that just, you know, helped you and boosted you up a little bit more to say, yo, I can go get more, right? So when you have an investment property, would you say that it's smarter to continue to rent it out or lease it out, or would you say it's smarter to live in it as you're doing both? So like you're renting one room and you're living in the other room. Which way do you think it would be smarter to go about?
For most of the clients that I deal with, the new investors or the people who don't necessarily have a whole lot of money, the second way that you said it in regards to living in the building and renting it out at the same time, basically what we call house hacking, is the move.
I did not know it was a name for that.
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
I said I did not know it was an actual name for that, house hacking. I did not know that. That's awesome.
Right, because basically, you know, you're living in the house, but you're also getting income while you're living there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you basically, you know, not beating the system, but, you know, you're leveraging. You're getting a 2-for-1. So that was why it was key that my first deal that I did, I bought a duplex. So as a first-time home buyer, one, you're able to buy an investment property as a duplex or a triplex. So having multiple units, you're able to live in something and then rent the other units out to hopefully pay for the bulk of the mortgage. And then from there, you also had an option to have a low down payment. So starting out, I recommend to most people, like, you know, you watch all these TV shows and it's like, yo, I want to have that nice car. I want to have that nice house. But with that nice car and house, there's expenses. So I learned from my mentors and the people before me, take the baby steps first. Get you a smaller property, something that's going to help you continue to grow, especially you just getting out of college or you just starting your career. And like I said, I got laid off not knowing, but you know, you just never know what's going to happen. So you always want to have, you know, be living basically below your means in order to always be able to grow no matter what happens to you.
Definitely. So do you say that age matters when it comes to actually purchasing a home or purchasing your first investment property? Do you think age?
No. And that's the whole movement that I'm on of starting. And that was why I wrote my book, The Teen and Millennial Investment Blueprint. So because I want to be able to help the youth that I feel, you know, I feel like the youth today, like they're super smart. They're smarter than when I was younger. One, because of technology and just because of the way things move so fast. So just imagine if we could get the generation below us that already had those things, that those intangible things in their mindset that we wish we had when we were growing up. these young kids will be beasts by the time they get to our age and be 30 or 40. So I say, no, you don't. It doesn't matter what age. The main thing is you just really want to be in a position that if something goes wrong, you can always take care of yourself. And actually, I attempted to buy my first property at the age of 19 when I was in college, but I got denied my loan because I didn't make enough money. I literally, the bank told me I didn't make, I think I was short of $100 worth of income. And at the time, I couldn't even get a cosigner because at that time, you know, my family was looking at me like, you want to buy a house? Like, why you want to buy a house? Like, that's a bill. They weren't looking at it like I was looking at it as it being an asset and as it being an investment for the future. But now that I do real estate, they was like, yo, you probably should have bought that house. You know, if you'd have bought that back then, you probably had twice as many houses if you started that young.
Definitely.
So I definitely say the earlier you start, the better. And just to piggyback on, like I said, working with the youth, I joined a nonprofit organization called the Real Estate 100 Movement. My mentor, Lisa Porto, she's based out in L.A. She wrote a book called The Teen Home Buying Experience. Because she, like I said, she believes what I believe in, educating the young people, but also taking the same concepts and breaking it down to the elementary school level and teaching millennials and adults the same thing. So if we could teach the youth, we could teach the adults. It's all the same thing. It's all relative.
Definitely.
It's just a matter of where you are in your mental space to receive it and take action. And that's what another thing I love about the youth, they're fearless. Like, most of these kids are so fearless, we just need to put their energy into something positive.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. So that leads into my next question, right? So you talked about the youth, you talked about millennials. So what we're now in the age of technology, right? So how would you say mm-hmm. that technology is shifting the real estate game? Is it going in the right direction or is it going in the wrong direction?
So I'm torn about that. So I would say it's helping and it's hurting it at the same time. Because like I was saying, everything moves so fast. So you talking about, so are you like, you want to talk about social media? I guess, can I start there?
Definitely.
So with social media, you got all these quote real estate gurus or people who are out here doing this and doing that. But with social media, you could be that person a lot faster. And you could also fraud and say you're that person when you're really not that person.
Agreed.
You know, I always use the same analogy. You know, you go to a college, but you go to a college in a different state, don't nobody know you. You could turn your whole image into something that is not until one of your friends back home come up to your school. So it's the same thing with, I feel like, the real estate game, because of, you could learn just about anything on YouTube, ebooks, online, go to a couple of seminars and call yourself a real estate coach or whatever it is. And it's a lot of people taking advantage of people's kindness and, you know, them just wanting to be eager to learn right now. So I would say it's good in the sense that I can reach people from all over and, you know, I can do that from Philadelphia, but at the same token, I feel like technology is somewhat, you know, also hurting some people because some people are taking advantage of it and not using it in the proper way.
That's how I feel, too. I feel like technology or social media in general can water it down. You know what I mean? Can definitely water down what you're trying to do because so many people are doing it. And like you said, they can be fraught in the whole time. And then when they meet someone who's legitimate, who knows the business, who knows the game, who knows the knowledge, and they come up to you and be like, I just heard, you know, someone repeat that, too. When they really just watch your YouTube video on how to get a blueprint or they read your book and start, you know, just start going from that. Definitely, I agree with you on that. But we do also have Lisa on the phone. Do you mind if I bring her on today with you?
Lisa Porto, the Lisa?
Yes, we have Lisa today here on the phone. Hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
Wow, I didn't know you were going to call me out like that.
I had to. He said you was his mentor, and I had to see, you know, why does he love you so much? I definitely had to see why he loved you so much. Definitely introduce yourself today, Lisa.
Oh, my gosh. That's guys, you gals. I am Lisa Porto, CEO and founder of Real Estate 100 Youth Foundation. I'm the original student agent, and Anthony knows, and my following and my support network knows, I have officially trademarked and copyrighted and patented that designation. So, man, we're so excited to have this brother as part of my team, how we connect amazing because I cover West Coast ground, he covers East Coast,
And we're talking about just doing amazing things. And you guys are getting a snippet of what Anthony has done, and him authoring his book is just the beginning, because he has been taking on young minds, high school seniors, and he opened the door for what we could do through the foundation, which we're actually bringing on interns, high school seniors, and we're showing them the game. We are putting up money for their courses, their licensing, if they so choose to be part of the real estate industry, because this is $1 trillion annual in.
Lisa, you kind of cut out there. Your signal went out.
Uh-oh.
Are you
can
good?
You hear me?
You're back on. You're back on. What were you saying? You kind of cut out around the $1 trillion.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you kind of cut out around when you were talking about the $1 trillion.
$1 trillion annual industry, not just in commission, not in just real estate sales.
So, Anthony, finish
the country.
Anthony, I will say, go ahead and finish kind of sort of what she was saying, because she keeps cutting off a little bit.
Lisa was saying that right now that we're bringing in interns in our program. So like I was saying, like, we're not just talking about it and, you know, we're being instruments and we're taking on our youth so that we can help them, show them the game. This year I had my second intern from MOTEP Charter School. And I think that's in Alleny or Germantown section of Philadelphia. And we were able to raise a $800 scholarship this year. Last year, we were able to raise a $1,000 scholarship for our intern. And both of our interns went on to go to college. My intern now that just got promoted, well, just graduated, he's getting ready to go to Pittsburgh University to run track. So we're just excited and we're looking forward to helping the youth in our communities. You know, like you were talking about before, with helping them be able to save their homes, helping them to be able to acquire more homes, and just keep building our community up to grow and prosper as we keep seeing the shifts change, you know, East Coast and West Coast.
Definitely. Lisa, are you still there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me better?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. So I wanted to ask you that same question I asked Anthony, because you are dealing with the youth. When it comes to technology, how do you feel that technology is shifting that real estate game?
What I love is that, Anthony knows this, we talk about it all the time, real estate has now become that trend in memes, right? It's finding its voice. It's becoming louder in terms of how we are envisioning what it is that we want to do in terms of our community. I looked at the meme that he just posted or just texted me and said, hey, I'm going to be on. I looked at the meme, and it's things like that. The technology gets to create a viral experience for people to dialogue about real estate. You know, we're seeing it. It's finding its voice in the hip hop music. And I like what's happening with technology, because we get to leverage it. We get to now connect with people all across the country, especially as I heard you with the intro and you said you guys are talking about Buy Back the Block. You're hearing about what Anthony's doing with the book. It's the technology what is allowing us to make that shift into collaborating and supporting one another. So I'm stoked. And like Anthony, we talk about this as well. So it's twofold, that you have Buy Back the Block and you have those that potentially could be predators on people who may not know that if an area is blighted, you should be checking with your city council, your building and safety, and find out what the plans for that community. That land may be toxic and it cannot be built on. That's not something you just go out and say, they're sitting, all these empty houses are sitting here, we need to pull our funds together and buy it. You need to find out if that area has been blighted or red tape.
Definitely. I agree with you on that one. So when it comes to the youth, how are you helping them to, when you say you guys are giving them scholarships and everything to go into college, how are you helping them to stay on the right track when it comes to real estate? So when they're there, they're getting the proper education. So when they come out of college, they can now start buying these properties and things like that. How are you putting them on the right track?
You want me to go first, Lisa?
Yeah, go ahead.
So like I was saying, what we do is, depending on what the internship requires, we basically have these students anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks. And, you know, we can't teach them everything, but I know the interns that are with me, like I said, they're in the trenches with me from just say if my hours are 9 to 5, 9 to 6, or however it is, they're there with me every day. And they're seeing what it takes to be able to network and maneuver, whether you want to be a licensed agent or whether you want to be an investor. And we're giving them basically the fundamentals so that they have the knowledge and that they're able to, they may not be able to understand it or make moves right this second, but it's basically building that, you know, that memory bank. And once they get done college and they start actually having some life experiences, it'll just kind of naturally happen for whichever direction that they want to go. But like I said, we give them the information so that they can take their courses if they want to be a licensed agent. And then I also, well, we both give them the information to be able to purchase properties in, as a first-time home buyer. And like we said, the beauty of it is most people just don't know, you know, you can be a first time home buyer and you can house hack. You don't just have to buy a regular house. You can buy a regular single family house. You can buy a duplex or a triplex. Mm-hmm. And for most young people, like I said, that's something that I highly recommend because that was the steps that I took to get started. I went from one property and as of Monday, I'll own my 10th property this coming Monday.
Awesome. Awesome. The blueprint, right? The blueprint, right, Anthony?
That's the blueprint. So happy, so proud of him. And he's been amazing. I wanted to add in terms of we've grown in terms of providing that information through the foundation. We have been doing a series of webinars. We teach as young as 11 years old from various places across the country. I have a program that's designed out that, and it's the only one in the country right now that introduces real estate terms and concepts to the youth. So there's a workbook and the second book, Real Estate 100, the Teen and Millennial Investment Blueprint, is now the level up from part one. And then there's a workbook. So there's webinars happening. There's Anthony. I get on Anthony's case about doing more of the webisodes so that we're putting out genuine and real content because as you talk about the impact of social media, we also have to refute the fallacies that's out there, right? The faux pas of the real estate world. So we want to make sure that we're operating from a place of integrity because right now when we talk about the youth being one of the largest demographics in the country, we are up next. We now supersede the baby boomers. We're 92 million strong. We're commanding a $1.2 trillion spending power, and I haven't even broken that in terms of ethnicity. But that's a lot of money that people are looking to. How are we going to get their money? And so what we're wanting to do is making sure we're empowering them with the information. And what I do personally when I speak on various panel discussions and I get connected with individuals, I'm doing quarterly real estate check-ins with people so that I become their coach, their accountability partner, a real estate advisor to them that they can stay abreast of market updates and they can have real estate on the foremind so that's still part of the long-term goal because we know life happens. Real estate is not an overnight thing. This is a mindset shift. And I love that we say it in the book. We say it all the time. And Anthony and I, we always bounce ideas about this. It's a mindset shift. This is not something that I'm going to go out and buy a car, get this loan, and I drive off the lot. End of story. It's very different. It's a very different experience. So I thank you again for allowing us to share on the platform what we've been doing. And we invite everybody to support.
Definitely. I was over here taking notes, Lisa. I'm with it. I was like, I got to reach out to these two definitely on a whole nother scale. I appreciate that. And one thing you also said, Lisa, while you were talking is how, you know, technology is shifting the real estate game is because you talked about webinars. The fact that you can actually, you know, sit down and take a virtual class on how to be a home buyer and how to, you know, get these different properties and how to take advantage of the properties that are in your community. That's a blessing, honestly. I did not know that real estate created webinars as well. I know, you know, a lot of other people, you know, doing other things have webinars, but I did not know that real estate, you know, is coming down the pipeline with some webinars. So I think that's amazing.
See, we're not normal. See, if you turn to the back of that book, if you have the book, you will turn to the back. It will show Super Investor, which is a cartoon character modeled after Anthony, and you will turn and see Super Agent, which is a cartoon modeled after me.
awesome.
We got normal.
We not normal. I'm with it. Keep working. I appreciate both of you guys. But before I let you go, if you both can give a shout out to yourselves, how people can find you, social media, websites, how they can purchase your book and things like that, that would be amazing.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, you're so sweet. So we can definitely, we definitely want to see you guys out supporting at realestate100.net. Check out what's happening on the website. It links to Anthony and a whole bio of what he's doing. You can order the book. You can learn more. It also gives you a link to our sister site, which is our nonprofit, Real Estate 100 Youth Foundation. And the website is realestate100youth.org. And since we're talking about social media, I'm going to just drop all my social media here. Please connect and build with me at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, at LA Super Agent. Love you. Appreciate you.
No doubt. Thank you, Lisa.
Anthony Lee, licensed agent in Philadelphia. You can follow me at A. Lee Real Estate on Instagram and Twitter. And if it's on Facebook, just Anthony Lee. I'm always reachable. I tell people, go on the website, contact me on the website or on social media. I love meeting people for coffee, donuts, whatever you guys want to do. We can just build. Just also look out. I'll be posting the flyer probably Friday or Saturday at the latest. So we're not just doing webinars. We're also doing in-person seminars. So August 30th at Studio 2424 in Fishtown, I'm going to be doing a workshop with another investor, and he's going to basically explain how he was able to build a real estate portfolio of 21 properties in 3 years. So if you follow me and stay connected, you're going to see a lot of these events happening. Awesome. And that's one of the biggest and great things that Lisa constantly encourages us to, well, me to do, is stay connected with the community and keep these events coming, like you guys are saying, so that we can keep buying back the block. So again, follow me, A. Lee Real Estate, or Anthony Lee. Reach out. Love to talk to you guys.
Definitely. But before I let you guys go, I want to ask you one question. With one word, you got to answer the question with one word. What
just
kind of
one
word? One word, both of you. What is one piece of advice that you will leave for anyone who is a new home buyer? Who they already bought the home, they already got the property. What is that one word that you would give to them, you know, as they're going into it?
They bought the house already, you said.
They're in the house. They're a new home buyer. They already have it. What is that one word of advice that you would give to them?
Patience.
Yes, Andy, I knew I had the right one. Yes, that's a good one. Why you say patience?
I'm saying patience because, you know, you bought the first house, you made it through, but now you got all these ideas running through your head. You want to go buy the furniture. Now you want to go get your car, so your car shows people, yo, I got this house and this car, this image. You want to live a lifestyle. Not everybody, but most people. Or, you know, you just eager to go ahead and buy that second house because you bought the first house. I'm saying, hey, everything will happen in due time, but just take your time because that first house will really teach you so much that you can probably avoid some of the pitfalls, you know, when you get to the second and third house, if you take your time with the first house and just learn the process, you know, learn the process of saving, you know, the monthly mortgage payment in advance, you know, just saving money for when that roof leaks or when there's an issue with the plumbing. You just never know once you're a homeowner. It's all good things because you own the house, but at the same token, it just, that experience will teach you a lot of things in that first property that it'll make it even easier for you if you take your time to get to the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, however many you're trying to get.
Definitely. I appreciate that, Anthony. I definitely appreciate that. You gave me a great answer because that's what I need. I'm actually about to move myself. So by you telling me that, I felt like you was talking directly to me. So I appreciate that, Anthony. Definitely. I wish you many, many, many blessings on your future endeavors, and I hope to see you in Fishtown. Let's continue to connect.
Oh, definitely. And I appreciate you for having us. Definitely looking forward to building.
Have a good one.
You too.
So that wraps up another great interview. I'm sorry, here in Revive with Anthony Lee. He is a real estate agent in the city of Philadelphia, the beautiful city of Philadelphia. He educated us on how we can buy back our block today. We are reclaiming our property here today on Revive. We do have another special guest coming up for you guys today. I do not want you to miss this, so definitely stay tuned and spread the word. Right now, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Also, check out the Facebook and Twitter, because we are live posting and tweeting the entire show each and every time we get on these airwaves. So make sure you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Let me tell you who to blame. Blame the boy lying at your feet, his body oozing life through the hole in his stomach where the bullet tore him apart. Blame him for challenging you, for not looking away and for not backing down when you pulled out the gun. Blame your mother for bringing you into this world when she was but a kid herself and for dragging you up, not bringing you up. Blame society for not giving you hope. Blame your father for not being there, the man who looked after himself instead of looking after you. Blame the gun in your hand for making you a target, for making you more likely to be picked on. Blame the dead boy, blame your mother, blame society, blame your father, blame the gun. Blame anyone but yourself for not being strong enough to put down the gun, to break the cycle.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl, POC. Hey! It's your girl, POC. We are back right now on Time for an Awakening. It's me, your girl, POC. You know what time it is. Definitely stay tuned to the Revive show right now. Spread the word. Spread the word right now. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe to the Revive newsletter. Of course, people, subscribe to that newsletter so you guys can stay in the loop to what's going on here with the Revive platform. If you scroll down right under to that big blue button that you clicked to hear me live on this Winning Wednesday here in Revive, if you scroll down just a little bit further, it's going to be a big blue. I'm sorry, it's not blue. It's white. It's actually white. I'm sorry. It's going to be a big white button right there that says subscribe. Click that button right there and subscribe, subscribe, subscribe to that beautiful newsletter that Harmony has got to put together for us here in Revive. I want you guys to stay in the loop so you guys know what's going on here in Revive. But we do have our next guest coming on the Revive platform. I'm really excited to be talking to this next guest because he is changing the game when it comes to real estate. Up next, Harmony Goddess, who do we have coming on the Revive platform?
Up next, we have Carrie Andrade, is the CEO of the Hip Hop Real Estate, a multifaceted organization with professional real estate and media services. Hip Hop Real Estate is a product of Mr. Andrade's lifelong passion as an advocate for youth and young adults. HHRE Group Org is a Boston-based nonprofit 501c3 youth development organization established in 2010. With the help of a number of organizations, community leaders, business owners, and individuals, HHRE Group Org offers its participants a variety of program services and activities, including academic tutoring, team building, networking, public speaking, broadcast and print journalism, film and video production, editing, and so much more. Thank you for calling in, Mr. Andrade. Welcome to Revive.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
We're doing great. I'm excited to be talking with you today here on Revive. Thank you for supporting us here at Revive as well. We love your platform. We love exactly what you're doing with the youth when it comes to real estate. You have hip hop real estate. How does it feel to be, you know, the founder of hip hop real estate?
Well, first of all, you know, to be the founder, first of all, it's I can't take all the credit because hip hop started back in South Bronx, New York. So, you know, I was in that generation, grew up in that generation, listening to L. Cool J, Beastie Boys, Run DMC, and Curtis Blow, and, you know, Chuck D, Flavor, you know, the whole the old school hip hop. So, you know, just watching them, what hip hop and the culture was built on. You know, peace, love, unity, and having fun. You know, back in them days, you know, they didn't have the money they had now. If you look at it, you know, the 50 Cent, the Diddy, the Jay-Z, Run DMC, Chuck D, all invested in some other businesses and became the entrepreneurs of today through hip-hop. And you look like the culture had changed. Two of the bigger conglomerates in the bigger, when I say conglomerates, in the whole entertainment thing is hip hop and real estate. People, they bought houses, they became movie stars. Some of them became businessmen, entrepreneurs like Dr. Dre, invested in Beats, Russ Simmons invested in Def Jam, some other things he might have invested in. And the list goes on and on. But we developed a platform.
We can't forget about Dame Dash, though. Dame Dash is doing his thing, especially when it comes to real estate. I love Dame Dash. I follow that motion.
There you go.
All the way through.
That's another scenario. Look what Dame Dash has done in the real estate game. And also, he's an entrepreneur, opened up his own car dealership. So
exactly.
If you look at all the you know, the artists and some of the guys that are built on hip-hop and where they're at today, Jay-Z's a multi-billionaire now, but it took him to his some of his same success to be where he's at now, and it's most of the guys are doing that now. So I wanted to know some of their failures and some of their success stories that's coming up and what they learned to inspire young people. So, you know, we developed a platform to educate, empower, and help the youth to teach them about the fundamentals of business, real estate, entrepreneurship, financial literacy, I mean, everything, the media, arts, and entertainment. Because the big one influences in the world today are media.
Definitely. So that actually leads into my next question. You know, so we went down the line of people, you know, such as Jay-Z, Dame Dash, P. Diddy, you know, Russell Simmons, people who did not actually go, you know, to college to get an education, people who learned from the streets. They're street smart. And then they just, you know, continue to learn.
Straight up street hustlers.
And they just learned. Exactly. And some of them, you know, started their business with, you know, dirty money, things of that nature. So when it comes to, you know, real estate and us not being necessarily educated behind it, how much do you press or how much do you stress when it comes to education behind real estate? Do you think that you need a college degree to go get it? Or how do you think that, you know, a person should be educated around real estate?
Well, first of all, you know, they actually should be teaching this type of curriculum in middle school. Business, entrepreneurship, because, you know, kids, they develop. They're like sponges when they're young. If you teach these young kids about money and how to invest and, you know, and balance a checkbook and how to how your mom's or your dad buys a house and bills that they got to pay and to pay a mortgage, it's not just the mortgage you're paying for. You're paying for water bill, light bill, taxes, and so on and so on. But just to balance the checkbook, you know what I mean, and how money works. You see a young person at that age, they'll be more successful when they even get before they get in high school because they know how everything works. So I think it's so we're accountable to teach our youth about the world we live in today, even economics, especially with our culture. You know, we're so busy. We spend the most. Black people spend the most, period. But we don't want none of that. And who is it? We need to learn about LLCs and corporations and how they work. and how the bank industry works and how your money works. So it's more passionate for me because I get to interview where media comes in. I got to interview Russell Simmons and Walker Flocker, the 2 Chainz, to governor. Then I met the patient, only interviewed him, and the list goes on over. Now that young people do it now, but just to hear their stories and their success and their success story and how they started and where they're at now, it's just amazing. It blows my mind because you get to hear their stories that inspire other young kids and inspired me just as well.
So tell us a little bit about how you got started. How did you get started? So we want to get excited about how you got started because I'm extremely excited about your platform. I love what you're doing. So tell us how you got started.
Well, I got started when I wanted to learn about real estate. I was in a game, the drug game. I can talk about it now. Statue of Limitation can't mess with me now. I was in the drug game when I was younger, and I had Survival of the Fittest back in the 90s because I was around that type of environment because, you know, my brother knew certain people, and I knew certain people, and I just fell right into it. But I knew it was a temporary situation I was involved in. You had to be dead or in jail. And I don't want to go that route. That route, I mean. And I always, you know, I lived with my grandmother. She always raised me up to have your own and don't ask people for nothing. And that was my thing. So I tried to figure a way I can make money without doing the other way of hustling in the street. If once you a hustler, you know, that's always still in you. So I figured, let me get into real estate. And I got my real estate license first. And I worked for a company, Century 21. Shout out to Century 21 when I first started, and I was a beast at it. And I said, okay, for ordering me to don't have to work for anyone, I got to get my broker's license. that's what I did. I got my broker's license. It took me like 3 years to get it. I learned the game a little bit, and I learned to you know, when you're an agent, you know, help people sell their property and get a small commission. I ain't used to getting small money. I mean, you start off from the gate, but as you get older, you learn about some of the experience that you might have went through being an agent. And I said, yo, the brokers make big money. So I figured if I'm going to be successful, if I'm going to be able to get myself in position, I got to become a broker because I ain't trying to get back on the block. I'd rather own the block instead of playing on the block and trying to get money off the block. I need to own the block. So, and it's like the same discussion you guys talk about. But at the same time, as I became a broker, I learned a couple of things how to hustle a little bit differently. So I said, okay, I bought my first house at 25. You know, and I looked at some other houses. I seen these other guys who were investing in property. Some investors coming on. I see, damn, they checked me like 200, 150. I'm talking about 2 or 3 months they was getting that money. I'm like, hold on, so I need to be there with that. So I peeped it and I said, okay, I'm going to learn a little bit. I made a couple of mistakes in it. And I learned to, you know, buy some properties, find out what the values are. How much can I get a low? How much can I get it for? You know, I buy low and I don't feel high. I try to just flip it real quick. I'd rather get a fast dime, a slow dime and a fast nickel quick. So I learned that concept and I said, okay, this is where to go. I got to get my own position, but how can I give back and show these young kids a new way to make money instead of, you know, selling drugs, doing dumb stuff in the street, and take them out of the street, show them a different lifestyle where everybody's living. Anybody don't got to sell drugs to own the block, own things, become a business person, become an entrepreneur, own a business. They ain't got to do a different way to do it. How can I do that? So I started interviewing anybody that's doing something positive, anybody that's doing something to help the youth. I started interviewing them, Anthony Lally, Jay Morrison, and a couple of other realtors and brokers that had some, even young people that got their license. I want to interview them and find out how they get, like what you guys doing to me now. I will go out there and interview them type of dudes because I want to be around the positive people that were doing something great in their own backyard. So I would travel from Atlanta, New York, where else have I been at? LA, trying to interview celebrities, trying to interview positive people. I mean, it's so much that I have done and accomplished. I think the biggest thing is when my wife passed. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but my wife passed away in like 2.5 years of cancer. So that was another thing that made me realize.
And you started a scholarship, correct? You started a scholarship for that, right?
Yeah, I started a scholarship. Anyone that lost a parent, how they lost them, and they want to go to college, want further education, I'll give them like a small scholarship, you know, towards any school that they're going to. And all the filming I've done over the years.
Did she help you? Did she help you?
The Cancer Society. Go ahead.
Did she actually help you start the business as well?
Yeah, well, my wife caught cancer, I think it was 2008. I needed a outlet to deal with, her, what she was going through. And then it's something to keep me distracted while I was going to her appointments with her, because I was, you know, seeing her go there was a lot on me, so I had to do something to keep my mind occupied. So I started doing that, and she was very supportive of what I was doing when I was traveling. She allowed me to do that, being a wife, because she knew what I was dealing with, trying to help her, what she was dealing with at the same time. So she was the one that really kind of pushed me, you know, to where I'm at now. So, you know, her legacy is what I do now on this earth, and that's really giving back.
Definitely. I appreciate that, because it helps, you know, the youth now who has a dream and, you know, who wants to follow their goals to get to school, and you're doing it in her name and her honor. I appreciate that, definitely. Also, so that leads me to my next question. You're working with the youth. How do you keep them in the right direction when it comes to real estate? How are you educating them? Are you sitting them down in front of a computer? Do you have a textbook? Have you written a book yourself, like a manual? How are you keeping the youth engaged when it comes to real estate?
Well, first of all, them young people that I've dealt with over a couple of years, man, they're very entertaining. You know, I see them cry sometimes. I see them laugh. We laugh a lot. You know, we dance. We have a great time. You know, cause we do two components. One of them is media, and the other one is teaching them real estate. You know, this past, matter of fact, today was actually the last day today with me for a while, but some of them are coming right back. The how I keep them motivated, I show them. I say, listen, this is how I make money. This is how I'm able to fund you guys. When I travel, go to BET Networks or Essence Fest, and I travel, people want to know how I get to one place to another. I said, I invest, and not just in the real estate, the community, but I invest into you guys. So I'm going to show you how I get this paper. I'm going to show you how I get this bread. I'm going to show you why you see me where my position where I'm at now. So I show them. I sit them in front of the computer, and they love it. They love it. They say, they look at the houses and see what they're going for. I brought them to a private management company, and they was blown away. Not just by luxury, but they're blown away with the cost. Because where they're living at, they don't pay that type of rent where the luxury renters. So they're blown away, and they love it. They catch them real fast, and they just like, man, if I had this type of place, I don't know if I pay for it, but I'd love to have a place like this. So you see them excited, and they want to learn real estate, because I show them how to, you know, do rentals, how much they're going to get if they do this. If you sold this house, and this house costs $400,000, and there's a 5% commission. Now, say we split that in half. Now, we got to do 2.5, we get half of that money. If we get the whole, we get 20 G. They go, $20,000? I said, yeah, 20 racks. Now, say you're getting 60% of it, you're going to get this much. What? So I can do something else? So they get excited. They look at the money card. You know what I mean? And they can still go to school. And then, you know, and still do real estate. And once you turn 18 years old, so they get excited. But I showed them how the big money is. Say you flip a house. You see the house worth, you get it for like $150, and it's $350 on the market, or $300 for another $50. How much profit would you get? And they go, oh, that's a lot of money. I can tell you, but you buy this car, this other, this is that. You got to do your math. Simple math to the game. So I try to teach them the simple stuff where they can look at it and say, damn, I can make, if I do two, three of them houses a year, I can make over $150. I make the same thing a lawyer makes or more.
Definitely.
They look at the numbers.
I appreciate that.
It's not that easy, but just if you be patient and you pay attention and you learn it, you're going to make some mistakes, but I'm trying to teach you to make less mistakes as possible. So
I appreciate that, because they need some guidance. They need someone to be out there, you know, helping them along the way to get them hype about different things other than just, you know, basketball, football, sports like that, teaching them that, you know, you can make money, you know, flipping houses, you can make money in real estate, you can make money as a lawyer, you know, you can be someone's lawyer when it comes down to that final, you know, sale on the home, things of that nature. So many different things.
But more importantly, you need a little more money, because you can be a basketball player, right? And you can throw money away to strip clubs, you can throw money away just doing just silly stuff, spending, and not knowing you what you put out. Because this is what you're going to have. You don't start writing your numbers down. Next, you know, a year go by. Like, man, I got $1 million. What all the money I want? Because you're not investing in, reinvesting it back into to make more money. That's what all the dudes do, everybody else do. You see, Jay-Z got the 4-4. I've been talking about this for years. And Jay-Z just put
an album out, I suggest you guys get that. That new album he got with 4-4. Definitely an inspiring motivation to teach you about the real estate game, teach you about the art being becoming an entrepreneur. He laid it right down what I've been speaking about for years. So hopefully some of my people get the album and just listen. Pay attention. Generational wealth is very important.
Definitely. We were talking about that earlier. No, I was saying definitely we were talking about that earlier with Tab Money. She comes on every second and fourth Wednesday of the month, and her whole thing is how we can create generational wealth. That leads into my next question. How do you feel about nepotism when it comes to real estate and things like that and businesses? How do you feel about nepotism?
Man, well, you know, I think right now in this world we live in today, something got to give, something got to change. We're the last of the last, and we're behind the eight ball right now. I don't believe in everything I see or hear, because we got to do ourselves and for ourselves. We don't try to reach our young youth nowadays, today, not tomorrow, just tomorrow, but today. Where are we going to be in the next 15, 20 years? Because you see the ungentrification, you see all the changes, people building and establishing. We're the last. We're not educating ourselves to educate our youth. So we gotta really get out there and really get this money for our generation to come.
Definitely.
To answer your question.
No, that does answer my question. I was just saying, like, when it comes down to nepotism, you know, people like such as the Waltons, I always use them as an example because they do a great job when it comes to nepotism. They do it in a very strategic way, how they pass down their businesses and how they pass down their homes so it can stay in their family. Yeah, so I think so that's...
Where it comes from. That's very important. Very extremely important. We so busy to give it away. You got to keep some property. That's where passive income comes in. Some properties you got to give up just to make another better investment. Some you got to keep to pass on to your kid's kid. But you can put that in the trust. You can put that on a piece of paper where nobody can sell it. You keep it generation. And some people do that.
And
we have to do it. And I'm glad you guys got this this program. I heard earlier kicked some real good some information, and that's, you know, I'm definitely. I'm glad that you guys are even speaking about it. And I want to, you know, keep trying to help you guys as much as possible to keep the show up, because it's so important that we reach out to other people that do the same thing, you know?
Definitely. We're definitely about to build, and we're definitely going to connect. If you could let the people know where they can find you, how they can reach out to your social media, your websites, things like that, that would be perfect. So they can go ahead and reach out to you so they can, you know, start with real estate themselves, or they can get their kids in some of your courses so they can, you know, learn how to do that and create and build that generational wealth. That's one thing that you repeated was generation and generation and generation and passing it down. But it's how we pass it down, strategically how we're passing it down, to make sure that it's building us wealth around it. You know, we can give it to the next generation, but is it going to actually build us some wealth as we're giving it to the generation? So that's the definition of generational wealth.
You have to be more knowledgeable. You know, like you said, you got to teach them. So, you know, you can pass on to your family, but we don't know what they're going to do once you're gone. So you got to educate your kids and show them the way to go about it, so their kids can have some. So that's very important. The media is so important, too, because it influences our young people. That's why I do media and real estate. The real estate funds the nonprofit organization. So every time I flip a house, every time I sell a house or have other agents working for me, I take that money and I put it back into my nonprofit, so I don't have to ask nobody for nothing. I won't swear on the radio, but I'm so aggressive with this. When it comes to people asking for anything, I don't ask. I go out there and get it.
Definitely, and I'm with you on that one. I'm so with you on that one. That's why I wanted to bring you on the Revive platform today, so you can educate and re-educate our listening audience today, because this is a millennial show, and us millennials, we're now at the time where we're going to buy homes and be first-time home buyers, and in order to do that, we need to have the education around it, so we're not setting ourselves up, or we're not locked into a mortgage for 60-plus years, you know what I mean? And our interest rates are not sky high, so definitely that's what we're trying to do here on Revive. So I appreciate you coming on. If you can go ahead and give yourself a shout out so they can find you, social media, website, all that.
It's Kerry Abram, Hip Hop Real Estate is going down in 5, man. We had a good conversation. We just popped it off from Boston to Philly, from LA to New York to MIA to Houston, man. Y'all know what it is, man. It's that Hip Hop Real Estate. Make sure y'all check out hiphoprealestate.com. hiphop.tv. We all over the place. Instagram is Hip Hop Real Estate. I mean, hhivgroup.org. You can go check out the nonprofit organization. If you got any youth that want to learn about the media or about the real estate, make sure y'all call me, man. It's out there to be touched. I'm reachable. I'm touchable. I'm right here. I can make it happen. And please educate your family and your kids, man. Real talk.
Definitely. I appreciate you today coming on the Revive platform and all that energy you just gave at the end. That was amazing. You got me cheesing from end to end. I love that energy. Thank you for bringing that energy, all that positive vibration over here on Revive. I appreciate that.
You got it. One love. Peace. Anytime.
Yes. Have a great week.
You too, sir.
So that wraps up another episode today here on Revive. Today here on Revive, we talked about reclaiming your property. We wanted to buy back the block, people. I hope you took some notes. I hope, you know, you're out here thinking about what your consumer diet looks like, because today's the day that we are going to save more and spend less so we can definitely buy back the block. Today's the day that we set ourselves up for nothing other than greatness. Today's the day that we run towards our fears and say, hey, yes, I can be that first time home buyer. I can go get that mortgage. I can make sure that I kick down that door so when I walk through, I have a beautiful home to see. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. I'll be back on Sunday. Make sure you guys stay tuned. I have a jam-packed show for you guys. Every time I hit the wave airwaves, it's going to be me, your girl, POC, live from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on this Sunday edition of Revive. I do not want you guys to miss it. Stay tuned. Also, follow the timeline at Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. We were live posting and also live tweeting throughout the entire show. Every time we get on the airway, we make sure that we kick that knowledge back out to you guys so you can retain it. And one thing, once you get it, once you retain it, what do I always scream? Apply it. It's time to apply that pressure. Put your foot on that neck and apply that pressure. Don't just get the knowledge and hold it in. You got to retain it, and then you got to apply it. And once you apply it, put pressure on it and kick that door down and put your foot on that neck, because it's your turn at the table. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. I'll be back on Sunday. Subscribe to that newsletter, y'all. Subscribe to that newsletter.